Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Mini Podcast, where we share tips to empower leaders in the nonprofit world. I'm Margaret Katz Kahn, and I'm here with my partner, David Langiuli. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Margaret.
David and I are continuing with our quest to introduce you to all the saboteurs. And today we started a conversation about procrastination before we started recording, and that made us think that the avoider, which we have been avoiding talking about, is the right saboteur to talk about today.
Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow.
Absolutely. The motto of the avoider. Although one thing that was interesting to me as we were sort of remembering exactly, you know, what defines that avoider saboteur, I have always thought because of the word avoider that it really has to do with procrastination. And it does, but I think that this saboteur names another sort of host of adaptive behaviors. And those have to do with avoiding conflict and stepping over hard conversations.
Yeah, we were sharing, and we'll get to the pleaser in another episode, but there are some overlaps between pleasing behavior and avoiding behavior. And oftentimes you'll see folks score on the assessment high in both.
Yeah, they kind of hold hands sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. David, do you have much avoider in you? I don't, based on our conversation earlier, I'm going to go with not so much.
Not so much. Where I avoid is in our partnership, like fundraising leadership with the four of us, I will sometimes avoid saying stuff out of fear that it might, you know, cause conflict. So it's true. I have a little bit of it. And then usually what happens is I avoid it. And then it usually comes out in a very aggressive sort of way weeks and weeks later.
It sort
like,
of bursts.
Like our whole conversation around, you know, growing fundraising leadership and all of us sort of enrolling clients in our services. We had a series of conversations around that earlier this year, but I had been kind of avoiding that for a while.
Feeling like you had different goals or were doing different things. And I'm going to say that actually really turns out to be one of the dangers of both pleaser and avoider is, you know, it's not that ultimately you don't have the conflict or the hard conversation. It's that somehow you pass the time when you might have been able to do it with some management or some skill. Right. Until it sort of explodes and you become this sort of giant force of nature in your in your expression.
It's true. And it's, but I see a lot of avoiding behavior with email.
All right. I'm sort of trying to hide under the table here as David is talking. I have a lot of avoider. That's a big saboteur for me. So,
yeah. Well, there is this one aspect of avoiding is just avoiding the discomfort of having to deal with something.
Yeah.
And it's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, it's always interesting to me to look at kind of the origination or the origin story, to go to the superhero thing of these saboteurs. And I think that this, you know, this saboteur, it's not related to a happy childhood or an unhappy childhood, because in fact, Sherzad sort of describes like in a happy childhood, you can become avoidant because things feel happy and you don't want to mess it up.
Right.
And if things are unhappy or tense or violent, you avoid adding your stuff to the mix because there's already enough or too much volatility in the space. So
yeah.
Interesting. And yeah. Hard to be with hard things.
And also I see in the professional realm, avoiding causes professionals that we work with, that we coach, causes them a lot of stress. So you know, it's counterintuitive, right? Because you're avoiding something to avoid the stress or the pain that confronting whatever it is might cause you. Ultimately, you end up having to deal with it, and and it lingers in the background, like it's there, and you know you have to deal with it. You keep pushing. This is the procrastination part of it, right? You keep pushing it off until it gets red hot, you know?
Right. Yeah. I know this is something that one of my coaches, Rick Tamlin, used to talk about a lot, this concept of dread.
Yeah.
Right. Dread, how we create dread. And dread's different from anxiety or fear, because it's sort of this unspecified, you know, thing that we generate by avoiding.
It manifests in, for me, even sometimes, like I wrote an email this morning that I was avoiding. It's to a subgroup of owners in the condo building, you know, the concerned citizens of my condo association, right? And I've been avoiding it for a while. And finally, I just said, okay, I'm just going to write this thing. Because there's like some, it puts me at risk in some way. You know, it's just dealing with one of the issues we have going on in the building. And, you know, it puts my voice out there. And, you know, there's times where I just don't want that aggravation.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we all have enough aggravation in our lives. Like one more thing.
Yes. One more thing. Yeah. Sort of like willingly doing something that might be unpleasant. I feel like, and this is not my place to go, but I feel like this saboteur generates a lot of, you know, I don't want to diagnose addiction, but behaviors that can start to take on more weight, you know, scrolling and social media, binge watching, and, you know, all these activities that we can come up with instead of having conversations or doing tasks, or, you know, it's a sticky space that this saboteur can pull us into.
And the impact on others, well, I, you know, can be something like, well, one impact is that you never know what, like once you actually take the action, you know, you can be pleasantly surprised at what happens. This is what I find is that, and I score pretty low on avoider, but we all have some aspect of all these saboteurs, right? And what I find is that the thing that I've avoiding, once I've taken action or confronted the situation or sent the email, I'm usually surprised at, like, the dread of what I was dreading usually never materializes.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the amazing thing about dread is it has so much negativity. Right. That even if the thing doesn't go well, sometimes it's better the thing, almost always, right? The energetic, like, oh, thank goodness I've gotten this done, you know, is so much better than sitting in the dread, which is constantly a movie of the worst possible thing that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, well, we're going to get to the sage powers. We've mentioned some of them already in our episodes, but what do you think the sage power that's the antithesis of the avoider?
Probably activate.
Activate. It is. Yeah. Like get into action around something. And, you know, we have also, if you've been
listening to— Did I pass my test, David? My PQ test this morning?
I was kind of avoiding putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, not that much.
I was real. No, definitely not. Yeah, you did pass your P2Q test, but I was going to judge you harshly if you didn't get it right.
Clearly. Yeah. Or you're going to avoid telling me that I really butchered it.
I was going to avoid, like, no, well, that's a nice answer, but it's really activate.
Activate, yes. There's something want to ask you about, David, because I know this is something that you help. And we talked for a minute there about the impact of this avoider. But I think one of the impacts is people feel pretty out of integrity when they are hijacked by this saboteur.
Yes, it's true. I'm glad you mentioned it. I just shared an in-depth article with you and Janice and Michelle on integrity. And what happens
guess
is...
Guess what? I'm avoiding reading it. No, that's in my
I know you were in a writing workshop all weekend.
I was in the workshop all weekend, yeah.
But a lot of people want to avoid integrity, actually, because when you avoid... Like somebody sends you an email expecting a response and you avoid responding because you don't want to deal with it, it's actually incomplete for the other person, which means it's out of integrity. That means not in a moral or virtue way, it's just unworkable in friendships. It's unworkable at work. When you avoid, you have breakdowns in integrity all the time. People are expecting you to respond and you don't. And that's actually not workable in relationships.
Yeah. And like sort of an example of that might be, you know, if you're meeting somebody for a meal and they show up at the restaurant 20 minutes late. And if you're an avoider, and I mean, well, the person who's late might be an avoider, but if you sitting at that table waiting for your friend, if you are an avoider and then you avoid the conversation about like, you know, it's really not okay. Like it actually feels disrespectful. Right. If you don't say that, the conversation is out of integrity. Like that's in the space. You're just stepping over it. Right.
It's
like
true.
It's still the unspoken and the things we avoid, they don't actually go away. They linger and fester sometimes.
Yeah. Like the natural reaction or the avoiding, not natural necessarily, but the avoiding reaction. Oh no, it's okay. You know, I was just scrolling through my text. It was fine. In the meanwhile, you're like, this is like the seventh time you've been late to one of our luncheons. And I just feel like you're disrespecting me. And you never say that.
Right. And it lingers and it festers lingers. And it oozes.
It
yeah.
And then what happens is, like, if this was you and me, I'm not saying it is, it's not, but and I was the one waiting, and you invite me to lunch, I'm just going to say no. You see, then that you have, like, in other words, if there were these repeated breakdowns and I don't actually have the conversation with you, I avoid it, I'll just stop going to lunch with you. That's another way of avoiding.
Right. And what's fascinating about this is that even the person who hasn't been inconsiderate, right? I mean, even the person who is at lunch by being an avoider can add toxicity into a relationship by not speaking up.
It's there's something unspoken, which is, again, you know, we talk about integrity as being whole and complete. There's something incomplete when you don't have the conversation, when you actually avoid difficult conversations. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think most of you listening know that we're big fans of this program and we offer much deeper dives. And so if your interest is piqued by our conversations about these saboteurs, we would love for you to check out, you know, would you like to join us for 7 weeks and really take a very deep dive into what your saboteurs are and how to come into a different relationship with them.
So all the avoiders who are listening to this podcast are going to avoid taking the action.
Almost
of signing up for the 7-week program, because that would be uncomfortable.
That would be wildly uncomfortable.
Quiet your avoider, go download the tip sheet, which we're going to give you a link to in the show notes, and learn more about your avoider. And then there'll be a link in the show notes to sign up for the 7-week coaching program. Get on it. Take action. That's a superpower.
Get your activate going. Yeah.
All right.
This mini podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs, including PQ, that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Please make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice. Yeah.